privilege to be here, and I always say this is one of my favorite ministries at Lighthouse with Lamplighters, because I had such a wonderful time when I was a young mom, and I looked forward to coming every Tuesday. That was my one day that I had something exciting to do when I was, you know, at home nursing and just like in sweats all the time. So I hope you guys are blessed so much by this group and the four ladies that lead it. It's fun to see Lori. I mean, Lori's the second time around. We went to Lamplighters together raising our kids. Our kids are, what, a month apart or something, the oldest?
Yeah.
And then now I said, oh, Lori, are you a Titus mom? She's like, no, I'm back. So she's like on her second round of motherhood. So that's exciting. Young motherhood. So, I love Lamplighters. If you've been blessed by it, I strongly encourage you to go and serve as a caregiver after your kids are off to school, because it is such a blessing, and you want to bless the next generation of moms who come in here. So, yeah. All right, so this morning I'm talking to hospitality, and I'm sure that when you hear the word hospitality, a myriad of thoughts might come to your head. You might be thinking, I love to cook and entertain. I can't wait to hear what she has to say. Or others of you might think, I can't even begin to think about being hospitable in my small and dumpy house. My life is about dirty diapers and spit, not to mention I hate cooking. First, let's look at the definition of hospitality. Well, according to Siri, hospitality is the friendly and generous reception and entertainment of guests, visitors, and strangers. I actually like how this modern definition included the word strangers. According to biblical commentary, hospitality was very important for early Christians because most of them could not afford to pay for lodging when traveling. Early Christians depended on the provisions and hospitality of fellow believers, and often were strangers. Since times have changed and we now have Airbnb and Travelocity, are we still called to be hospitable? I think you guys realize that the answer is yes. We are not only called, but as believers, we are commanded to show hospitality. So I'm going to look at Romans 12, 9 through 13. So if you have Bibles, you can get them out. If not, you can just listen, because I'll read it to you. Romans 12, 9 through 13. Paul was writing to the Roman church, which included both Jewish and Gentile Christians. He was addressing issues of tension between the two groups, and Paul was trying to remind his readers of God's mercy in their lives. As Christians, we are to give ourselves completely to God because of his saving grace. Paul also reminds us of Christ's love and how we are to sacrificially love others. The title of this passage is actually Marks of the True Christian, which includes hospitality. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, but fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of saints and seek to show hospitality. So if you're taking notes, that's your first little fill-in. Seek to show hospitality. I love how it says, seek to show hospitality. Don't just wait around for someone to come knocking on your door. We are commanded to seek out opportunities to show hospitality. Hospitality does not just mean throwing a dinner party for your best friends. Be open to how God is calling you to be hospitable. Everything that you have is given to you by God and ultimately belongs to Him. Even though your name is on the title or lease, your home is not your own, but was given to you by God so that you could bless others with it. We have been blessed by our Savior to be a blessing. Seek to show hospitality. Hospitality is not impressing others with our decorating, cooking, or clean and organized homes. It's about loving, serving, and welcoming imperfect people into our imperfect home and sharing our imperfect life in the name of Jesus for the sake of the gospel. It's about a willingness to be used by God at all times, in all ways, not just when it's convenient. Seek to show hospitality. So Ginger Plowman wrote in Heaven at Home, it's one of the books, I have a few books back there if you're interested into studying hospitality more. And she writes, I can remember storming out of my house several times after heated arguments with my parents and heading straight to Toma's house. There was rest in Toma's house. I was welcome and accepted. I remember one time in particular when I barged in angry and crying. I didn't want to talk, just calm down and rest. I lay down on the couch, my body convulsing with sobs as she gently rubbed my back and hummed while I cried myself to sleep. There was nothing impressive about Toma's house by worldly standards, but to me it was a refuge of comfort and peace, a place where I was welcomed, wanted, and loved. Although I did not know God, there was no doubt in my mind that He dwelt in Toma's house. He used her open heart and open home to reveal Himself to me. As a result, a rebellious, promiscuous, alcohol-abusing teenager realized and accepted the love of God. That's what hospitality is all about. And then I have a sheet. It's a purple sheet on your table there. I'm going to go over some. She kind of gave this list, which I thought was kind of fun, so if you want to follow along. So entertaining is, we can't have the pastor's family over tonight. I just planned on having grilled cheese sandwiches and soup. But hospitality says, let's have the pastor's family over for grilled cheese sandwiches and soup. We haven't fellowshiped with them in a while. Entertaining says, I'll start having company when I move into a bigger house and replace the living room furniture. Hospitality says, I will honor the Lord with what He has given me by opening my home to you. Entertaining says, the missionaries can't stay at my house. I haven't finished decorating the guest bedroom. Hospitality says, although the guest bedroom is not decorated, I'll prepare a place for you in my home anytime. Entertaining says, I want to impress you with my beautiful home and my cooking talents. My home is a reflection of who I am. Hospitality says, my home is a gift from God. I want to use it for His purpose and reflect His love by welcoming and serving you. Entertaining is being put out when the guests are late and aggravated by being inconvenienced. Hospitality puts others first by being gracious, understanding, and flexible. Entertaining is running around like a madwoman before the guests arrive, yelling at the kids and husband because they are not being helpful, and cursing because you burnt the main dish. Hospitality is joyfully preparing the home and the food for the guests, encouraging your husband and kids to get the house ready, and thanking them for their helpfulness. One of the main differences between entertaining and hospitality is that entertainment focuses on things, the condition of the house, the food, etc., and self-glorification. Hospitality focuses on others and showing God's love to them. That's your second film, I think. Pride often stands in the way of being hospitable for the glory of God, and pride causes us to focus on entertaining others for the glory of self. When pride creeps in, we become more focused on entertaining people and showing off our home. We forget about loving people by helping them feel welcome and wanted, and we forget about honoring God. There have been many times when I have allowed pride to creep in over the years. In those situations, I take my eyes off of God and I'm focused on impressing my guests. Rather than kindly encouraging my husband and kids to help me get the house ready, I start barking orders and demanding, clean the bathroom, pick up your room, take out the trash. Why isn't the table set yet? Do I have to do everything around here? God has convicted me of this sinfulness, and unfortunately, it still creeps in now and again. By God's grace, He has shown me my ugliness, and when I seek Him, He enables me to prepare my home with joy and a loving attitude. When opening your home to believers and non-believers, choose to display integrity when extending hospitality. Remember that this is not just a social gathering, but it is a ministry opportunity. Seek to show hospitality. Avoid gossiping and negative talk when your guests enter your home. You want them to observe a lifestyle that is consistent with your convictions. Show love and kindness regardless of the circumstances. Know Christ intimately so that His character is evident in all who enter your home. Having a godly mindset towards hospitality does not come naturally for most people. It must be intentional, and it might take some practice. Before inviting others over into your home, be spiritually prepared. Study God's Word on a regular basis. This will help you have a heart for God and a heart for others.
desire to lead a godly life that bears fruit. Pray before extending an invitation. Lord, who do you want me to invite? Pray before the guests arrive. Lord, send your Holy Spirit to come and fill this home with your love. Give me a humble heart to serve these guests with love and joy. Take away any pride that is in me. I pray that the conversations would be edifying to you. If you have the opportunity, say a blessing before the meal. Most people will not be offended if you say a prayer for a group meal, even if they are not a believer. And then pray after the guests leave. Lord, thank you for your goodness, provision, and provision during the gathering. Okay, let's read a little further in Romans. So Romans 12, 14 through 21. It says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Let's apply these verses when showing hospitality in our daily lives. The first one, bless those who persecute you. Maybe it's your mother who seems to constantly criticize you for the way that you are raising the kids and how you keep the house. Invite her over for lunch and love on her. Even if she nags you, pray. Just pray in your head so you don't say anything negative. Ask God to give you a humble heart to make negative comments. An example might be if your mother says, you really need to discipline little Tommy better, rather than saying, that's really none of your concern, Mom. You can respond with humility and say, I appreciate your encouragement. We are working on some discipline issues. Rejoice with those who rejoice. That's easy. Most of us already do that. Throw a baby shower for someone you know that's having a baby, or throw a birthday party to celebrate another year of life. We all love to rejoice. And weep with those who weep. Invite a friend over for coffee if you know they are going through a hard time. Pray with them. Weep with them. This reminds me of a time in my life when a neighbor came over, and a friend, and she was crying her eyes out. To my shock, she shared with me that her husband said that he had enough and he wanted to leave her. She was heartbroken and she didn't know what to do. I have tried to share my faith with this friend in the past, but she has always been very close to anything to do with Christianity. That day, I asked her if I could pray with her, and because that was what I felt led to do. I held her hand and I prayed aloud and I pleaded to the Lord on her behalf. This was an unplanned opportunity to be hospitable and flexible. Despite my messy house and no snacks to offer, I was able to open my home to a friend in her time of crisis. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Don't invite just your besties over. Invite people over who may not even be able to return the favor. Think of some families that might get overlooked when it comes to dinner invitations. Maybe families with many kids, multiple kids, and you might say, you might think it's hard to have so many kids over. How are you going to feed them all? They're going to just be rowdy in the house, and it's going to be too much. You know, we only have two kids. We need to find a family with two kids, it seems like. But those families, they probably need an invitation more than you know. Right, Sarah?
Sorry, why are you under the bus?
Sarah is very good at being hospitable, I will say that. So. But I think a lot of times it's easier not to invite families that have what you consider too many kids. Pastors' families often get overlooked for whatever reason. So several years ago, I was discipling a single gal, and we were going through a book on a chapter that included serving. And God laid it on our hearts to do something for the elders' wives. We realized that these ladies sacrificed so much for our church, and we wanted to do something for them. We decided to give the elders' wives a spa day at my house. And we had a makeup station and a facial station and a nail station. And it was nothing fancy, but it was just fun. It was a fun way to bless the ladies, and we had fun too. Families with disabilities. And I think Pastor Kim, or there was a sermon on it recently. So one family at our church who has children with disabilities shared that before coming to Lighthouse, they had never been invited over to another church member's home. Can you imagine how unloved this family must have felt? Families of divorce. I think it is natural to want to invite families over who are easy to entertain. We may think, oh, I'll invite so-and-so because her husband likes my husband and it works out well that way. But although that is fine to do, we must not overlook the single parent who is tired and could use some encouragement and fellowship with other families. The children of divorced families can also really benefit by being around other church families. And then single people, foreigners, and college students. It's easy to overlook this group because we might think that they don't want to hang out with married couples with kids. But I have found that singles can learn so much about godly marriages and parenting by just being in the home of Christian families. College kids may be homesick, and a home-cooked meal may be just what they need to feel better. Give foreigners the opportunity to celebrate an American holiday or a simple meal with your family. So, and new families at church. I was surprised to hear a story about a new couple at church. This was actually the couple that was just visiting our church. And it was their very first time at Lighthouse, and they said that they wanted to get to know the people that they had just met. So they invited their new friends over for lunch after church. And I just thought, wow, that was really bold of them to do. And imagine how welcome our guests would feel if more of the regular church attendees did that on a regular basis. And the elderly. I realize that there are not too many elderly here at Lighthouse, but they are out there, and they often get overlooked. There is so much we can learn from the older generations, especially about marriage and parenting. I'm sure they would appreciate an invitation to come over and would love to share some nuggets of truth and wisdom with you young moms here. There are so many amazingly hospitable families at our church. I'm sure you all can think of some. I've seen numerous families open their homes for small group. Actually, many of them are here today even. There are families who have taken in young people without a place to stay, and even whole families. There are families who invite new people to church to come over for lunch or dinner. There are families who take in international students and college students for holiday dinners. Lighthouse has something where you can sign up for that. There are families who bring other families meals when they are in need. That's a compassion ministry that we have. I see people babysitting to give moms and dads a break, and people visiting the sick and the elderly. Seeing how others live out the gospel through sacrificial hospitality inspires me to pursue the same love and good deeds in the name of Jesus. I'm really encouraged. There's one family that came to mind at our church, and they seem to have an open door policy. God has blessed them with a home, and they use it to glorify God in everything. Every time I've stopped by, for various reasons, I see young people hanging out. I see international students getting experience the love of a Christian home. A couple years ago, this family welcomed another family of four to come and live with them for several months. And these people have their own kids as well. And while instead of a typical living room furniture of a sofa and coffee table, they just have a bunch of tables like this set up with chairs around because they know that something is always happening and they're ready and willing to host whoever wants to come. So, reflecting back on Romans 12:20 now, God is commanding us to be hospitable to our enemies. That might be your last fill-in. And God may actually call you to be hospitable to someone whom you consider your enemy. And maybe you think that you don't have any enemies. But is there often conflict between you and your mother-in-law? Or maybe your husband has become your enemy at times. Is your home hospitable, a hospitable environment for your husband to come home to? Do you welcome your husband home from a hard day work? Or do you throw the baby at him and complain about your day? You guys are laughing like you've done that. We should strive to make our home not only hospitable to guests, but even more so to those who live within our home. So what about your mother-in-law? Does she feel comfortable and loved in your home, or does she feel like an unwanted guest? Maybe you view your next-door neighbor as your enemy. Rather than ignoring them, you could bring in their paper when they are away, or you can make them a meal when they are sick. Ask God to show you ways that you can be that you can humble yourself and show God's love and hospitality to your enemies. Seek to show hospitality. Lastly, I want to encourage you to be hospitable at every stage. Don't make excuses. I know that it can be challenging with babies at home, but every stage of life will have its challenges. Be creative with how you can be hospitable. One friend told me that she used to disciple young gals while her kids were taking a nap in her home. And God will give you the energy and multiply your time if you are willing. Your kids will see you serving and learn from you. If you love others, they will love others. If you serve others, they will serve others. If you are not actively looking for opportunities to practice hospitality, ask yourself why. Study Romans 12, 9 through 21, and ask God to speak truth to you. As believers, we should be actively seeking to show hospitality. All right, and that's pretty much it. I'm going to show you guys a video from Francis Chan. It's actually from a marriage book, but it's just such a wonderful video, and I think he does a really good job at just teaching his kids to be hospitable just by the way he lives his own life. So I hope you'll be blessed with it. And then another video that I didn't bring, but you guys can watch it while you're nursing your babies or getting dinner ready. It's on Netflix. It's called Kindness Diaries. I put it at the bottom of your notes. And that's not a Christian video, but it's about this guy who decides he's going to go around the whole world. He starts in California. Have you seen it? It's good. He goes around the whole world just living off the kindness of others. So he's not going to take any, he has a motorcycle, that's it. But he doesn't take any food or money. And he does encounter some Christians along his road. And he goes everywhere, all the way to New York, into Europe, into India. And it's really interesting to see how people were hospitable. And while I was watching the video, I was thinking, I don't know if I would let him stay with me. I mean, be open to, like, opportunities that God brings into your life. So it's a really fun show to watch. Yeah.